The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Okay. Rock, rock, rock and Nicole.
Yeah.
Rock, rock, rock and Nicole. Rock, rock, rock and Nicole. Once she grabs, she won't let go. Rock, rock, rock and Nicole. Rock, rock, rock and Nicole.
None of that soft stuff.
Rock, rock.
None of that heavy metal stuff.
Rock, rock, rock and Nicole.
Just a little bit of jazz.
Rock, rock, rock and Nicole.
What do you think?
Just
I
like
love
that.
It. That was great. Thank you. Somebody's laughing.
Big laughs on the call.
She can't seem to face up to the stress. She told a story she thought would impress. So Trump would give her a certain role, but now they won't touch her with a 10-foot pole. Puppy killer, what the fuck? Na 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 na. Thought you'd run, 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 run for VP. No, puppy killer, what the fuck? Na 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 na. Done, 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 done in the GOP. She caused some consternation with that dentist infomercial, and she's been banned from several tribes' lands. Even MAGA folks say her tomb is sealed, but Mitt Romney's reputation is finally healed. Puppy killer, what the f***? Na 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 na. Thought you'd run, 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 run for VP. You thought you'd gloat, no remorse. How you shot a goat and a horse.
Oh, no.
Jokes and cartoons, you've inspired a lot. Now your career hasn't got a shot. No, no way. Yip, 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 yip. MAGA says you crossed the line, though other gun violence is apparently fine. Puppy killer, what the f***? Na 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 na. Thought you run, 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 run for VP. Oi, puppy killer,
what the fuck?
Na 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 na. Now you're done, 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 done in the GOP.
I love it.
It's Lauren.
Okay.
Request.
Yeah,
if these
Lauren.
Videos are helping you cope with the news by laughing at it, I hope you consider helping me keep them going by subscribing to my Patreon.
Yeah.
As little as $2 a month.
Yeah.
Extra content and bonus goodies, as well as the satisfaction of knowing you're supporting the arts.
Yes.
Well, at least this artist. Thanks.
That is the awesome Lauren Mayer. But wait, there's more. And the creator of this one is actually in the YouTube chat room. Say hi to Patrick Fitzgerald while you listen to this ditty.
I love my dog as much as I love you. There's no going back when you break such a strong taboo. All I asked from him is to run and jump and hunt, but I shot him down because I am an awful person. I love my dog as much as I love you. I love my goat, but he was mean and now he's barbecue. My biography wasn't very self-aware, but I showed Trump my solidarity when I had my very own affair. I love my dog as much as I love you. I'm glad no one saw me shoot that kangaroo.
Oh.
I love my dog as much as I love you. If we don't win, we can always start another coup.
Says, please love and cherish the animals in your care. That's Patrick Fitzgerald. And I apologize to Patrick, who's in the chat room, by the way, because my video the way I had it set up, because it was the last minute edition, I wasn't showing the entire video. So go watch it on YouTube. Find Patrick Fitzgerald and check out his work. And while you're there, check out Lauren Mayer as well. Because they help us laugh at things that are inherently not funny. somebody in the chat room asked what the deal was with Kristi Noem and why she would kill this dog. And Diane Russell, who is one of our moderators, I think our longest running moderator, and thank you for your service, Diane. She explained that, where is it? Now I can't find it. What she said was that the dog was untrainable and aggressive and dangerous. That's what she said. I'm sorry. No dog is untrainable. She said that she spent a lot of time with the dog in training. Well, if that's true, then you had the wrong trainer. There's a million shows on TV with dog training. I'm not even talking Caesar or whatever his name is. There are others. And I'm not the best dog trainer either, but no dog is untrainable. I'm sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. You know, I got Jackson right here at my feet, rescue dog. He was a pound puppy. And he's not, you know, the easiest dog ever. He is neurotic. Every dog I've ever had, and I've had many of them, have their own personality traits, and you need to get to know each individual dog. She's horrible. So she killed the dog because the dog was, in her words, horrible. No, Kristi, that's you. The dog is a dog. Anyway, and then she killed a goat. So no, let's see. So, what else? Today's Thursday. Howie Klein will be here. Trump was back in court today, and I'm scattered all over the place, but I got a bunch of stuff to share with you. We learned a new word today, thanks to, I guess, Michael Cohen. We can blame Michael Cohen. Is it blame or is it thank? I got to find this clip. It's audio only. I didn't take the video because there's no video in the courtroom. But the audio comes courtesy of Jake Tapper at CNN. Now, I really don't watch CNN much these days. Just can't go there. But every now and then a clip emerges that makes me giggle. And this is just one of those. So this was today. Let Jake Tapper explain what this is about. So they were having a panel on CNN talking about today's trial. Again, Karen McDougal's attorney was on the stand for a second day, and I guess they're looking forward to whoever else is coming up. And so this happened on CNN. Uh-oh. Oh, no, it's not playing. Oh, God. Oh, no. All right, hold on. I got to bring it up from another source because that doesn't want to play. Oh, shoot. Oh, continue now. Sorry, I had some tech problems earlier. Okay, where are you, Jake Tapper? Here we are. My producer, I got to fire her, I'll tell you. Okay, here we go. Hit it, Nicole.
I apologize for this update ahead of time.
Oh boy.
But Todd Blanche, the Trump attorney, is specifically reading a post that Michael Cohen made on Twitter on April 22nd,
yeah.
in which he refers to Donald Trump as Von Schitzenpants. That is just a factual record that I am bringing before you. This is in the court transcript. Von Schitzenpants.
Blanche
also said there are repeated attacks on Trump and his candidacy on Cohen's podcast and TikTok account. Dana Bash, I know you want to weigh in on Von Schitzenpants.
I think you did it on behalf of all of you.
I have been calling it Von Poops and Pants for weeks now, but now it's a part of the official transcript.
Official transcript.
I do think that when it comes to just the raw politics of this, the argument that Donald Trump is making out in the world, not just when he comes into court and when he leaves court, but when he's on social media, when he's at his rallies, about I'm gagged, I can't speak. When you look at this, which we should say, he can speak about the judge. He can speak broadly about a lot of things. It's very narrow what the gag order is about. But it does include Michael Cohen, because Michael Cohen will be a witness. And when Michael Cohen makes very clearly political statements against Donald Trump, it gives Donald Trump a much more credible political argument, saying this is ridiculous that I can't speak. Blanche just showed articles quoting Cohen, quote, talking extensively about Trump's presidential campaign.
Okay, but Michael Cohen has not been gagged. Michael Cohen is not the one on trial. Just saying. But so we heard about the tweets. Let's see some of them, shall we? Just because we can. So here's one. Michael Cohen with a picture of the former guy sitting behind the defense table in court looking pissed. And it says, "Hey, Von Schitzenpants, your attacks of me stink of desperation. We are all hoping that you take the stand in your defense." Yeah, we are. All right, here's another one he posted. And it's a picture of Trump in all his orange fitness with an orange cape and leotard with his body and moobs standing, sticking out. Moobs, man boobs. And it's actually a retweet of somebody named Shay, who wrote, "Such a sad day that the defendant can't lie and attack the judge, prosecutors, and their families." Actually, he can attack the judge. That's the sad point, and he's still doing it. He is allowed to attack the judge. The judge is not part of the gag, and Trump has been, just in case you were wondering. But Michael Cohen retweeted it and wrote, "Please don't forget about the witnesses. We also matter." I don't know that the judge said you can't attack the witnesses either. I don't know, because there's not a, you know, camera in the court. Just saying. I hear there's odor in the court as opposed to order in the court, because the reports are that when the former guy falls asleep, and again, he's saying, "I'm not always sleeping. I'm not sleeping. Sometimes I just have my beautiful blue eyes closed." Ew. Just ew. He did say, "my beautiful blue eyes." He would fuck himself if he could. Just an observation. Anyway, here's another one from Michael Cohen. It's a picture of Donald wearing a loaded Depends, it appears. And Michael Cohen wrote, "Dropping midnight tonight, the current episode of the Mea Culpa podcast." Oh, that must be Michael Cohen's podcast. "Blue icon background. Featuring superstar guest legal is promoting Harry Littman." The print is really tiny, and I'm reading it from the screen just like you are. I guess the funny thing about this is not what Michael Cohen wrote. It's just the photo that he tweeted out, because there's Donald in his loaded Depends. And then the last one that I have, courtesy of our pal Spocko, by the way, Michael Cohen tweeted out this picture of what appears to be a Donald Trump action figure in an orange jumpsuit. And it says, "Keep meeting with the Donald, and I won't need any money "Keep messing with me, Donald, and I won't send any money to your commissary." Ah, okay. It's old age. But the tagline with the Donald, I guess it's not an action figure, it's a jailed figure. Get your hands on the limited edition prison suit Trump action figure featuring a vibrant orange jumpsuit and removable hair. Get yours now before they all escape. Ooh. All right. A little bit of, humor, such as it is. But I have more. I really do. What else did I want to share with you before we go? Oh, so, you know, speaking of Trump sleeping, which he does in the courtroom, I suppose, and Maggie Haberman of the New York Times, the first one to out him for his sleeping, he actually did two rallies yesterday. So Wednesdays are dark days off. You know, they're off in, there's no court on Wednesdays. Last week, Trump, you know, although he's been complaining that every week or, you know, that every day he's got to be in the courtroom so he cannot be out on the campaign trail. Last Wednesday, he wasn't on the campaign trail because that's not what he was doing. That's, you know, I think I heard one report that he went golfing. You know, maybe he should have just slept because apparently poor Donnie has trouble with that. So you would think that he'd get more creative with his nicknames. Why call Joe Biden Sleepy Joe if it's Sleepy Trump? If Donald Trump can't keep his eyes open during his own criminal trial, that could find him imprisoned. But this, so you're thinking, okay, well, he's back on the trail. He does two rallies in Wisconsin yesterday. Obviously, he's sticking to the important stuff to get everything out there that needs to be said, right? No.
The nicknames are good. What do you like better, Crooked Joe or Sleepy Joe?
What?
They're both accurate.
Okay, let me just say something here. Sorry, let me remove his mug so that you don't have to keep looking at him while I'm talking. If I can do it, you know, it's a technical thing. Okay, so here's the deal. The Sleepy Joe thing doesn't work because Donald Trump is the one who can't keep his eyes open. Joe seems perfectly energetic to me. And Crooked Joe, can he come up with something new? He used Crooked for Hillary Clinton 4 years ago. Was it 8 years ago? Sorry, time flies. So that's the best he can do? Sleepy or Crooked Joe? Jesus Christ, Donald, you're slipping here. Slipping.
You like better?
Criminal Joe.
He says criminal. Okay, wait a minute. Okay, ready? We'll go Sleepy and then what?
Oh, God.
Wait.
This is what he took his time with the rally.
You applaud if you like it. We'll go Sleepy first, and then Sleepy Joe.
No.
Crooked Joe.
Oh, my God. And look, and he's turning like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
That Crooked Joe is a bad guy. I thought it was going to be a lot closer than that. Wow.
What? There are no words. The fact that there are enough people in this country who idolize him is just frightening. It's absolutely frightening. Here's some. I won't bother you with the video, but this was another thing he said at one of those rallies yesterday, which just blows my mind.
It was always the plan from the great legal experts of this country and even the world, but from the great legal experts to everybody, Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives, they wanted to get abortion out of the federal government. Everybody wanted
Democrats
that.
Democrats and
uniform.
Liberals?
Then about 10 years ago, people lost their way. They started talking about, you know, how many months, what do you think, what do you do, what kind, where does it take place? And they forgot the original aim was to take abortion out of the federal government and move it into the individual states and let the people decide.
Oh, and you know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to assault your ears. Here's the thing. When he wasn't, you know, a factor, I went you know, for a few years without playing his voice on the show. But the thing is, you need to know what he's saying, because what he's saying is frightening, and everybody should be terrified, because you know who he is now, right? There's no, you know, there's no like naivete about what he would do if he were in office. And now he's even telling us. So we have the Project 2025. We've talked about it. We spoke with Tiffany, I think is her name, the woman who is writing the Project 2025 takedown Substack. Tiffany Williams, yep. Project 2025 takedown.substack.com, where you can read her stuff, and you should, because she is sort of bringing it point by point out to the people who are reading her. But Time Magazine went one better this week, and they have published a piece, and it's called If He Wins. It's a cover story of the current issue of Time Magazine. It's the May 27th issue, because that's how they do things in magazine world, I guess. Anyway, it is the current issue, just hit newsstands a couple of days ago. And actually, I'm looking at it online. I may have to go out and find myself a physical copy of Time Magazine, because there's so much here that I think it's part of my job to help spread the word about just what this wannabe dictator would do if he gets back into office. And let me just share a paragraph with you from the beginning of this article, and maybe, you know, I'll reach out to the guy who wrote it, see if we can't get him on the show. No promises. But I have sometimes pretty good producer, so we'll see what she can do. Anyway, the author's name is Ed Cortellesa. And he explained that he did a few interviews with Donald Trump. He says, "We've been talking for more than an hour on April 12th. At his fever dream palace in Palm Beach, aides lurk around the perimeter of a gilded dining room overlooking the manicured lawn. When one nudges me to wrap up the interview, I bring up the many former cabinet officials who refused to endorse Trump this time. Some have publicly warned that he poses a danger to the republic. Why should voters trust you, I ask, when some of the people who observed you most closely do not?" As always, Trump punches back, denigrating his former top advisors. But beneath the typical torrent of invective, there's a larger lesson he has taken away. Quote, "I let them quit because I have a heart. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I don't think I'll do that again. From now on, I'll fire." Ick. That wasn't the piece I was going to read to you, but I wanted to share with you how the thing began. Later on, he writes, "What emerged in two interviews with Trump and conversations with more than a dozen of his closest advisors and confidants were the outlines of an imperial presidency that would reshape America and its role in the world. To carry out a deportation operation designed to remove more than 11 million people from the country, Trump told me, he would be willing to build migrant detention camps and deploy the U.S. military both at the border and inland." I'm pausing here to let that sink in. He would deport more than 11 million people, building migrant detention camps and deploying the U.S. military. I just want to make sure you heard that. Ready for the next one? "He would let red states monitor women's pregnancies and prosecute those who violate abortion bans." Again, pause for effect so you can let sink in what I just read. But wait, there's more. "He would, at his personal discretion, withhold funds appropriated by Congress, according to his top advisors." Lovely. he would be willing to fire a U.S. attorney who doesn't carry out his order to prosecute someone, breaking with a tradition of independent law enforcement that dates from America's founding. The Justice Department, as much as this is me now, I'm sorry, this is me weighing in, breaking in to say the Justice Department is an independent agency. It is not under the executive branch. It is not under President Joe Biden's control. Despite what liar Donald Trump tells you, the prosecutions of Trump have nothing to do with Joe Biden. What they have to do with what Trump would do if he gets back in office, because he will prosecute anyone he deems his, quote, enemy. And anybody who doesn't vote for him or bow down to dear leader, he considers his enemy. Got it? Good. Back to Time Magazine. He is weighing pardons for every one of his supporters accused of attacking the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, more than 800 of whom have pleaded guilty or been convicted by a jury. Again, pausing to let you digest what you just heard, but wait, there's more. He might not come to the aid of an attacked ally in Europe or Asia if he felt that country wasn't paying enough for its own defense. If he felt. Wow. He would gut the U.S. Civil Service, deploy the National Guard to American cities as he sees fit, close the White House Pandemic Preparedness Office, and staff his administration with acolytes who back his false assertion that the 2020 election was stolen. Oh my God. And that's just a paragraph, one of the opening paragraphs in this massive piece where Donald Trump is telling you what he will do if by some fluke or nefarious activities of Donald Trump's, you know, sycophantic followers get their way. He's telling us. We have the Project 2025 website, project2025.org, I think is it. And of course, the takedown blog that will help you understand the extent of what they're planning. It's terrifying. If he gets back in office, we are all doomed. I mean, we are fucked. And that's not hyperbole. That is honest. The man is psychotic. First of all, he is suffering from dementia. He's losing it more and more on a daily basis. And you know how you can tell? Because those are the things he says about Joe Biden, and all he does is project. Everything he claims the Democrats are doing is what he himself has done, is doing, and plans to continue doing. And why people don't know and won't accept this, I don't know. I do not understand. And, you know, if you think that, you're not happy with Joe Biden, and by the way, Joe Biden spoke today about the protests on college campuses. Let me share before Howie gets here just a little bit of that with you. Here's what Joe said in no uncertain terms.
So let me be clear. Peaceful protest in America. Violent protest is not protected. Peaceful protest is. It's against the law when violence occurs. Destroying property is not a peaceful protest. It's against the law. Vandalism, trespassing, breaking windows, shutting down campuses, forcing the cancellation of classes and graduations. None of this is a peaceful protest. Threatening people, intimidating people, instilling fear in people is not a peaceful protest. It's against the law. Dissent is essential to democracy, but dissent must never lead to disorder or to denying the rights of others so students can finish the semester and their college education. Look, it's basically a matter of fairness. It's a matter of what's right. There's the right to protest, but not the right to cause chaos.
Okay, so that's what Joe Biden said. Do you know Donald Trump's position on this? He would send in the national... Oh, by the way, Joe was asked on his way out the door this. Two quick questions.
The protest forced you to reconsider any of the policies with regard to the region?
No.
No.
Thank you. Mr. President, do you think the National Guard should intervene?
No.
No.
Mr. President, do you agree with what the
students... So, and then he left. So, two things. These protests will not sway him one way or the other. So there's that. But two, would you send in the National Guard? Unequivocally, no. It was very quick and to the point, and no, I would not send in the National Guard. Donald Trump would send in the National Guard. Donald Trump would probably send in police with live ammunition, which is not what went in last night. And by the way, my alma mater was all over it yesterday. Yeah, University of South Florida, gee, I'm so proud. Not really. So, you know, if you think Donald Trump would be better for the people in Gaza, you're not paying attention. You should join up with the Gays for Gaza crowd because you're as delusional as they are. By the way, Gays for Gaza should not exist. Gays do not exist, at least openly, in Gaza, in that world. And Hamas would behead them as quickly as they'd behead me because I'm Jewish and because they're gay. And Donald Trump, he'd nuke them. You think the carnage is bad now? And it is. I'm not trying to downplay that at all. But, you know, I've said before, and I believe it, that if Israel really was interested in genocide, if they wanted to wipe out the Palestinian population, they've got the weaponry to do it. They've got the technology to do it. They would have done it. They would have done it within the first 24, October 8th or 9th. That just goes to bolster my contention that it's not genocide. Maybe, and it's, I can't call it an overreaction either. It's just wrong. It's just bad. It's just horrific. However, Donald Trump would show no compunction. He would nuke the place. And, you know, Bibi is his brother from another mother. They're twins, don't you know? Come on, man. Sorry, I already switched it over to here.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. All right. Now, with no further ado, I'm already late to call him. So, I'll have... You know, I'm not really in the mood for a dirty Debbie today. I need something stronger.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
Grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hey, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
So overwhelmed with work that I didn't even have time to take my vitamins today.
Oh, no. Well, overwhelmed with work. So what are you working on?
Oh, just all the regular stuff. Talking with candidates, writing my
blog
posts.
Yes.
You know, cooking for dinner, all the stuff I do. But, you know, it just turned out that there was more to it today than usual.
Yeah, you did have a few, you know, newsier posts than you. In fact, one that I really want to ask you to explain, which is about that special election in Buffalo. We'll get to that in a moment. But before we get to that, because that's wild. You know, when I read the news yesterday and I thought, oh, this is good news. But now you tell us, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story. And it's not so pretty. Yeah. So, you know, even the good guys have not any blue will do is I guess one way to put it. But I first have to ask you about this because I saw your tweet before I saw the piece at downwithtyranny.com and it made me laugh out loud. And you were right. You wrote, no, Moscow Marge is not the AOC of the right. She's the Jared Moskowitz of the right.
Was he your congressman? He was, right?
Yes, for 5 minutes before we left. Yes, he took over when Ted Deutch went to work for some Jewish
Israeli
organization. Yeah,
firm or something.
Yeah, yep, yep. So Jared Moskowitz, and let me tell you, I've despised that man since before I knew he'd be such a joke in Congress. Because I don't know if you remember, there were, I think, six people running to fill the seat vacated by Ted Deutch. And I lived in that district for years. And I reached out to all of them. Every single one of them not only got back to me, they came on my show, except Jared Moskowitz. Not only did he not come on my show, he ignored every effort I made to get him on my show. Not only him, but his people. Nobody from his campaign ever even responded to me. And that's just shitty.
Why bother responding to you when he had AIPAC?
Exactly.
His coffers with money.
Right, exactly. He didn't need me. And he knew, I'm one of those uppity women or something. I don't know. But so I had no, when he came into office, I already said, this guy's going to be not good. And oh my God, he is a joke.
He is. Although I have to say, I agree with you. You know what I write about him. It's all negative. But one thing, you got to give him credit. He's not a dummy in terms of he's witty and he's sharp and he's vicious.
He is
and
vicious.
Sometimes you need someone like that to go after the Republicans, and he does do that.
Yes.
Everything to do with policy, he's terrible. He's as bad as a Democrat can be. But when he goes after those Republicans, I actually enjoy it. He's not as good as Jamie Raskin.
No. Well, because Jamie Raskin is likable and brilliant. And Jared Moskowitz,
every policy.
Every policy. Well. And every policy. And he's just admirable. Jared Moskowitz is that creep. He's smart. He's cunning.
Yes.
Yeah, he's good at some things, but he's also embarrassing. Look, the day that Comer called him a smurf because he was wearing this ridiculous blue suit. And, it fit. You know what? He is a smurf. But I guess, yeah. Anyway, I thought this, he is Marge. He's Marge of the left.
I thought so.
That's, although smarter than her.
Short. I mean, both of them, they're both backbenchers who are frustrated and who want to get in the news and want to be on TV. And they'll do or say anything to make that happen.
That's right. That's right.
And that's like AOC. I mean, the people who say that, they're just so facile. It's insane. I mean, to say that AOC has anything whatsoever to do with those clowns
right.
is so idiotic.
Yeah, she's not like that at all. Agree with her or not, like her or not. He is a showboater. He is somebody who will do something. He wore a mask. What was that? He wore a mask into Congress one day or something. He's like fingernails on a chalkboard for me.
Glad you like him.
Yeah, useful idiot. Anyway, I'm glad he's not my congressman anymore. I don't really know my current congressman, but he's got to be better than Jared Moskowitz. Still getting to know Arizona, who, by the way,
your congressman is no prize either, but he's not as bad as Moskowitz.
Right.
The broad and variety Democrat. Stanton is your congressman.
Stanton
guy,
is
right?
My congressman, yes. Although, considering some of the other ones around here, I'll take him. Considering that Paul Gosar is also member of Congress.
He's not really near you, though, right? Gosar?
I don't think he's far from me. Let me see where his district is. Hold on. I'm going to.
He's nearer to you.
Paul Gosar's district. Let's see. It encompasses. Oh, here's the district map. Okay. Let's see.
I think it's of you, right?
He is west of me. So it's west of Phoenix. So, yeah, he's not right. Yeah. So here, let me see if I can pull up this map on so everyone can see what I'm looking at. Here it is. All right. So I'm putting it up on the screen. So here's Phoenix. See, it says Chandler down here. You can't see the pointer, unfortunately. But there's Phoenix. If you look to the right and down a bit, you see Tempe, Mesa, Gilbert, Chandler, right? So that he's off to the left. Avondale, yeah, parts of, like, I think a lot of desert. And
a lot of desert and a lot of sort of old people's trailer parks and stuff like that. A lot of that.
Yeah.
And retirement homes and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
People whose brains have gotten baked in the sun.
Yeah. I mean, but there are very few, like, cities mapped. It looks like there's a lot of desert here where there's nothing.
A lot of rural.
A lot of rural, right. So, yeah, that's
the other side of Phoenix. Is the district that Dave Schweikert is in,
okay.
And that's one that's going to flip. That's a very, very flippable seat.
Oh yeah.
And wanted to have the progressive Democrat who's running against Schweikert come on the show, but he's in Washington D.C. in meetings right now, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
And in fact, that was one of the things that I was busy with at the last minute, setting up more meetings and trying to. You know, he said, oh, you know, I got 2 hours between here and here. You can get me here with somebody. So I did.
Good.
So, yeah, so that sort of takes time and energy.
Okay. And then there's two people running.
Wait, this guy is named Connor O'Callaghan.
Okay.
So I hope we can get him on next week. He's really good.
That'd be great. I'm going to write his name to Connor O'Callaghan.
Born in Ireland.
With a name like Connor O'Callaghan, that makes sense. So,
yeah. You're a good guy and real smart. A lot of times you find these Europeans are, you know, take politics very, very seriously, and they really study really well and try to understand everything really well, and they turn out to be real smart. He's one of those.
Oh, good. Well, then let's get behind him and hope, you know, is he a Blue America endorsed candidate yet?
We're in the middle of our process, and he's going to be.
Cool. All right. Well, I look forward to meeting him and talking to him and, you know, helping him get elected because Arizona, look, I told you Arizona is moving bluer as Florida is moving redder, or I don't know what you call it. But yesterday was an interesting day because two things happened. In Florida, the 6-week abortion ban went into effect. Thank you very much. I feel, do not be pregnant in Florida. If you get pregnant and you plan on having your baby, you're the one who's really in trouble. I'm not worried about the kid who gets pregnant, who, you know, is a mistake. I'm worried about the family who's pregnant and has an emergency and cannot get the kind of medical care that they need to survive. And that's really scary. But so that happened yesterday. Thank you, Florida. There will be something on the ballot in November for the citizens to get out and vote to give women back their rights. So Florida, you've got every reason to turn out. But here in Arizona, two Republican state senators, I think it was, I don't know if it's the third or fourth try, with every state, Democratic state senator, finally voted to overturn that 1864 law that the Arizona Supreme Court put back in force. The House, it took them 4 attempts to get it done, but they had, I think, 3 Republican House members join with all the Democrats to repeal it. And then finally, the Senate did it just yesterday. It will go to the governor's desk. She will sign it. But, you know, here's the crazy thing about the way the laws work here, I guess. It's still going to go into effect in, I think, June or July, until October, because of the way it's like 90 days after the law or whatever reason, it's stupid, the ban will go into effect for a couple of months before it's finally repealed. But it will be repealed.
Wow. I didn't realize that. That's awful.
Yeah, it is. It's horrible. Yeah, here, I might have it here.
To give you an idea how wacky the legislature is in Arizona, this one guy, Amish Shah, who's one of the people running against Connor O'Callaghan, he was a Republican, and then he switched his registration and became a Democrat, but still plays ball with the Republicans most of the time in the state legislature. He's running for Congress now, but he's in the legislature. And in fact, believe it or not, he voted against women's access to contraceptives over the counter.
Wow.
He was the only Republican, the only Democrat who did. But that's they call him a Democrat. In fact, the Democrats got so angry with him that they disinvited him from attending their caucus meetings because they said, well, you know, anything we say is just going to go right back to the Republicans. Wow. So let's discourage him from coming. So they did.
Good. Well, as now they should. Oh, my God. Yeah, well, that's why the saying, not any blue will do. People need to do their homework and figure out who they're voting for. Just because there's a D next to their name doesn't mean they really are.
Exactly right.
Right.
In fact, another person who's running for that same seat was also a Republican. She was married to the Republican Secretary of State. She was a Republican herself. She's been donating lots and lots of money to other Republicans. And now she's, you know, claiming she's a Democrat in good standing, and she's running for a congressional seat as a Democrat. And it's just, you know, when people buy into that stuff, it's just amazing to me.
Right. No, because they're lazy for the most part. And we're telling you, you need to research. It doesn't matter who, if you're voting for a dog catcher. You still need to know who you're voting for. And just because there's a D next to their name, that's not enough.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, Howie, I want to ask you about what happened in this special election in Buffalo. So now the Republicans are down to a one-vote majority in the House, right?
Yes, for a couple of weeks.
Right.
They also have a few special elections coming up to fill red seats. So this one that happened on Tuesday was a blue seat. So Republicans need not run. That was the point of the article, by the way, that these gerrymandered seats, whether they're gerrymandered blue or gerrymandered red, they're not really democracies. Because, in the Buffalo seat, though, we're talking about New York 26, no Republican is going to win there. Doesn't matter how bad the Democrat is. Doesn't make any difference. No, it's just going to be a blue win every time. And the problem is, you know, people say, well, at least there's a primary. Well, in places like that, where there's a Democratic machine like there is in Buffalo, the Erie County Democratic machine, it's so corrupt. And that's it. Anyone else who tries to run, they'll drive them right out of the race. And that's what happened.
Right.
A progressive wanted to run. They wouldn't let him run. And now we have a very, very, to be kind, a mediocre Democrat. Who's just, you know, not any good to offer, especially, you know, that's not a very rich district. They can use somebody who could represent them, who really could help them. And he's not the guy. He's been in the state Senate. He was terrible in the state Senate. He's not going to suddenly turn around and become some champion of the working class. He never has been before, and he won't be now.
So this guy, Tim Kennedy, you're talking about.
Tim Kennedy, who just won his seat. And, you know, if anyone is thinking, well, you know, give him a chance. Well, he's had a chance. He's been in the state legislature for years. And you could tell who someone is. You know, you don't have to wait for them to get to Congress. They don't change. You know, when we first endorsed Pramila Jayapal, why do we endorse Pramila? Because of her record in the state Senate in Washington.
Right.
She was great in the state Senate, and we knew she'd be great in Congress. Same with Ted Lieu. He was great in the state Senate. We knew he would be great in the Senate, in the House.
And he is. Right. But so now they basically, it's the old, you know, the backroom politics that we always hear about, that you think those days, the party bosses. But I guess in many cities or counties, it still works that way. And I guess it does up
all
in
all of them.
Yeah. Oh, God.
You know, we talk about how bad it is among Republicans, and it is. There's no denying it. But, you know, the Democratic Party is supposedly the party that protects democracy.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's not. I mean, just, you know, go and read the story that I put up. And there's, you know, a big, long passage from the guy who wanted to run, and they drove him out of the race.
And that's Nate McMurray, right? He's been on the show
Our
before.
Old friend Nate, that's right.
Right. Right. We've met him. Good guy. And, yeah, what he said was, I mean, his statement here is pretty astounding. He wrote, here's just a little bit of it, and I hope people will go to downwithtyranny.com and read it. And the post, by the way, is, want to know what elections are like in North Korea? Check out Buffalo's special House election. All right, so that's the post. But Nate McMurray said, who cares, right? Well, I wish everyone cared. I get that most people have too many other things to worry about. I'm guessing voting turnout in this special election will be abysmal. And you probably think that I'm just another self-interested politician whining. The worst part of running for office is that you become a vector of attack. Even your best intentions are interpreted through the lens of ambition. Again, I get it. I don't like most politicians either. I'm almost a decade in almost a decade of political activity. I met maybe two or three who I actually liked. The widespread apathy is understandable. Sadly, the powers that be love apathy. So, and it's a vicious circle, isn't it?
Yep, you bet. It is terrible. And Nate is a smart guy, and that's why I wanted to. I don't think he's going to run for any federal office anytime soon.
Right.
And I don't think. But, you know, there's anything we're going to be able to do about it. But I wanted to highlight him because he's a smart guy and he said really important things. And I hope a lot of people do go and read that post.
I hope they do. It was really good. That's why I brought it up right at the beginning. I wanted to make sure we got to it. So the Democrats got the seat. But again, we have
the Democrats were never going to not get the seat. I mean, that's a Democratic seat. Uh-huh. No matter who ran, it wouldn't make any difference. It's a Democratic seat. That's the problem with these big city seats that are blue, blue, blue. A seat that's blue, they should all have progressives in them. But
yes.
Instead, the bosses, pick their own candidates, and then you're just told, you got to vote Democrat or we'll be in trouble.
Yeah, right. Well, and when it's a given that it is going to be a Democrat, people should have the opportunity. That's what primaries are for. But when the party bosses get in, everything gets foobarred. In Florida, I'm hoping that this, first of all, that having a woman's abortion rights on the ballot will make a difference. By the way, we'll have it here in Arizona as well. And also, thank you, Kathy, in the chat room. Governor Katie Hobbs already signed the repeal of that 1864 abortion ban. So it's been repealed, but it takes like 90 days before the repeal takes effect. So it's just stupid, but red tape.
Right, but fortunately, there's a Democratic Attorney General, and she's not...
not going to enforce the ban. Right. Yes. And she's great. She's the one, her name is Chris Mays, and she's the one who got the indictments that we talked about last week against the whole fake elector scam here in Arizona.
Yep. And she, kicked some butt so that even now some of the other states who tried to sort of, bury it whatever it's called. They just didn't want to deal with it. They just wanted it to go away.
Yeah.
Some of them are now feeling embarrassed, and they have to look at it as well.
I could play you the clip from Shepard Smith again, like I did last time. Politics is weird and creepy. Every time I hear these kind of stories about politics, it's like, I wish we could get the politics out of politics.
Yeah,
and get some music into it. So, Howie, I wound up not seeing Neil Young last weekend, and I'm regretting it. Cause check this, you want to hear the set list?
Sure.
Okay. Opened with Cortez the Killer, followed by Cinnamon Girl. By the way, Cinnamon Girl, name of my first dog as an adult, my first dog that I got on my own when I was in college. Her name was Cinnamon Girl. Don't Cry No Tears, Down by the River, The Losing End, Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere, Scattered. I think the ones that I don't know are on this new album. Powderfinger, Love and Only Love, Comes a Time, Heart of Gold, Human Highway, Hey Hey My My, Into the Black, And then check this out. It's with Crazy Horse, and Nils Lofgren is in Crazy Horse, but Nils Lofgren is on tour with Bruce Springsteen. But they're in between the U.S. and European dates right now, and Nils lives in Phoenix. Well, apparently they ended the show. Greensleeves comes on, which is the music that they always play when Neil ends his show, I guess, and people are leaving. the house lights came up. Neil comes back out on stage. The whole band, Nils Lofgren is with him, and they play Danger Bird as an encore. Oh. Half people had already left. And Nils, and apparently it was amazing. And I'm bummed I wasn't there. Oh, well.
Were you out of the arena?
No, we didn't even. You know what? I think I told you. I have gout. Like, out of the blue, my foot started hurting, and it turns out it was gout. I fought it. I didn't think it was, because why would it be? But it is, and it was really hurting. And just to walk and not have tickets, and, you know, that arena is massive. We just didn't, and we couldn't afford it. So we didn't go, and I'm bummed. But, you know, because we're at this time in our lives when this is probably going to be my last opportunity to see Neil Young, especially with Crazy Horse, perform. So, oh, well, at least I've seen him a number of times. So I've got that going for me. But sounds like this was a great show.
Yeah, it sounded to me, when you read that set list, that he was like really trying to be a crowd pleaser.
Yeah, because I think, how old is Neil now? 74, 75, something like that? You know,
I think he's older than that.
Really? Oh, God.
I don't know. I think so. I think he is.
Let's see. That's the beautiful thing about the internet is we can do this. Neil Young, 78. Neil Young is 78 years old, and he's still rocking in the free world. See, but he may not do this again. Just like I don't think Springsteen will always play. He'll do solos. I don't think there will be another E Street Band tour after this one.
Really?
No, I don't. And you know what? By the songs that he chose, especially in the first leg, it was like the anthems. It was like the feeling that I got when I saw him in Florida was, this is it. This is going to be the last E Street Band tour. And it was a statement. And I've seen him a couple of dozen times over the years. You hear him on every song. Like, he's there, he's present. And not that he ever isn't, but there's something different about this one. It feels like he's saying goodbye. Like, this is going to be it. Look, he's 74. The band is all old. They can't do this forever.
They never know if they're going to do it again. No. A lot of times they are sincere and they really think they're never going to do it again. And then a few years go by and there they are out again.
Right. Those are the bands who do their farewell tour when they're in their 50s or maybe even 60s. These guys in their 70s, going on 80s. Look, the Stones kicked off their tour. I saw the set list. It looks great. I have no desire to see it. I've seen them. I don't need to see them again. But Neil Young is one of, you know, he's Neil Young. He's one of my favorites.
How many have the Stones been saying it's a farewell tour?
I don't know. Have they said that? I don't know.
Yes, they have. Decades, and yep. I don't mean to pick on the Stones. They're just one of many. There's so many doing that.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah,
they even have original members, and they're doing that.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a website called Nugs.net, and not every band is on it, but a lot of them. Springsteen is, where you can sign up. I think it's like $12 a month or something, and you can get all the live shows. They record the concerts, and now it's the digital age, and you can listen to all the shows on the tour. So,
wow.
Yeah, I don't know if Neil. I'm not a subscriber right now. I have been. I've done the free trial subscription a few times under different email addresses, and I'll record things, and then I cancel the subscription because I'm poor. If I had money, I'd be more generous. But so I don't know if Neil is on there or not, but I kind of want to check it out because I would love to hear that show. So I'm not going to see him. So anyway. Anyway, Howie Klein, we'll talk next week. Let me know if we have a candidate joining us.
Yes, Connor.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Howie. And thank you, guys. It is tomorrow's Friday, so Marcy Wheeler will be here. There's, like every other week, I always say it's been a busy news week. Yeah, it has. And this week is no different. Marcy Wheeler will be here tomorrow, so we can talk about all of it. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great night. And yes. And oh, Sandy's in the chat room. Environmental Coffee House. She lives in that district. And she said, Nate McMurray lost and I'm pissed. Sandy, go to downwithtyranny.com and read that post. Read, because Nate McMurray wrote a long, long essay in there. And he didn't hold anything back. You should read it. It's really good. All right. With that, we're done. And I'll see you tomorrow. Peace out.